The past couple weeks, I've been sharing some observations and reflections from a retreat that I went on back in October. And last week, I mentioned a little bit about squirrels. And I said, hey, there might be a message coming on that. Well, here it is today. So I'm going to give you a little background on what happened here. We're going to check after I do. So I'm going to tell you the story. We're going to check out some scripture that I think speaks to that squirrel experience. And somewhere along the way, I hope we can find out how squirrely we can be and should be. And not in the way that most people usually use the word squirrely when they're trying to talk about people, all right? So anyway, the story, here's what happened. I told you that a couple weeks ago I told you about the power, the wind, and the spirit experience, right? I was leaning against this tree. It was a walnut tree. Leaning against this tree and just watching the wind blow through these trees. Powerful wind that day. It was blowing hard and noisy, just rustling through the trees and shaking the tree that I was leaning against. But everything was, way up in the tops of the trees. But then as I was still leaning on there, I brought my gaze down to the ground. And in this place that was just lush, I mean green, and there was trees everywhere, but there was this thicket, for lack of a better word, of nothing under these trees that was right there, bare. It was bare ground, brown dirt, dead and decaying trees, some gnarly wood just kind of laying all over the place. If you've ever gone wandering around the woods, you know what I'm talking about. It's just all the lush life is way up in the trees, right? And it's not down here on the ground. It's barren almost, even though very fertile soil that's feeding those trees. But then off in the end of those trees, I see some squirrels running around. And as I shared last week, there's this, even this almost what seems like, I don't know, visions of darkness or even death, there's signs of life. There's signs of hope. There's these squirrels running around in there. So I'm leaning there and watching these squirrels for a while. Squirrels tend to get my attention. Squirrel. And this one kind of starts coming my way. And he hops up on this log that's laying on the ground right there. That was a gnarly log too. And he all of a sudden I realize this squirrel is looking at me. He's dead on right here, and he's looking at me, and his tail is just twitching, 100 miles an hour. I'm just kind of watching him, and I'm like, it's kind of funny. I'm laughing at him a little bit, and then he stands up on his hind legs, turns sideways to me, and he's still looking at me. I can see him kind of doing this number. He's looking at me out of the one eye. His tail's still twitching, and I have no doubt that he's warning everyone about the weirdo that's kind of looking into their territory right here, And I'm still watching him for a while, and then he jumps up into a branch that's he's about 50 yards away from me at this point, and then he jumps up into a branch that's way closer to me, and he's still looking right at me, and I could tell that not only was he warning everyone, I was probably starting to agitate him a little bit by me just being there. I know you guys can probably relate. So anyway, at least some of you. I was like, okay, I'll move it along, so that he can go back about his business and, not worry about, this strange dude that's watching over their home right there. And I walked away, and there was, like I said, there was all these trees, and some of these pine trees were just massive. There's another message coming from that. But as I was checking out this other tree, which is way far away from where I was, I look up and there's another squirrel right up here looking at me, and his tail's twitching. I assume it's another squirrel, but hey, maybe the guy followed me. I don't know. He was just keeping an eye on me. But what was he doing? I think he was kind of protecting his own, He was keeping an eye on me, but then telling others about possible danger lurking nearby. And there's our lesson on how we should be squirrely. Is that warning. He was putting himself kind of in harm's way. He could have been, right? And I was just hoping he didn't try to run up my leg or anything like that. But he was caring and concerned about my presence and what it meant to his home and the people, squirrels right there along there.
But we're called to be squirrely like that sometimes. We might be just trying to get through our day, minding our own business, and then we notice something that isn't quite right. It could be a number of things, you know, something that someone did to us or around us. Something that might be dangerous to us or others. It could be spiritually, it could be physically, but, you know, there's this thing. It could even be something that someone we care about is doing in their lives, and we don't like what they're doing to their own lives, and we need to be like that squirrel and warn them about the dangers that they're imposing on themselves. Again, physically or spiritually. Here's our example of being squirrely. If we care, if we really care, we'll be like that squirrel, doing what we can to bring attention to the danger that's nearby. Maybe even to the sin that's crouching at the door, kind of like our message from last week with Cain and Abel, right? It says, if you do well, won't you be accepted? But if you don't do well, sin is crouching at the door, is what God told Cain. God was warning Cain. Lovingly, caringly, warning Cain. So when it comes to demonstrating this squirrely behavior, this warning behavior, well, there's Jesus. Jesus, that was his main thing, right? Was warning people and showing them the ways that they were going and how it wasn't with God and how they should be going with God. So Jesus is an easy way of doing this. But I thought, you know, Paul came to mind. Paul's letters are full of warnings like this. So I'm like, I want to go to Paul and see what Paul has to say for us, or say to us about these warnings. And that's exactly who we're going to look to today. But we're going to go to Acts first. We're going to go to Acts 20, beginning at verse 17 and through 21. It says, now, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, I'm going to stop there. This is Paul as he's headed back to Jerusalem. You know, that big voyage back to Jerusalem. And he stopped in a little town called Miletus, probably a port town right there. And he says, well, while I'm here for a few days, he had a layover, which, what, a layover in those days was probably, who knows, a month or so. You know, it wasn't a few hours at the airport. He says, he sent to the Ephesus church, the Ephesian church, to the leaders there to come and see me. I want to talk to you. I don't think he pulled out his cell phone and said, yo, I'm here. But he sent to them because, well, he had a special connection to this church. But let's see what he has to say first before we get to that part. Oops. So when they got there, he says, you yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Like I said, Paul had a special connection to this church. He pastored there for a while. He probably planted this church. And he's headed back to Jerusalem, and everybody along the way, the Holy Spirit and everything else, is telling him that what's waiting for him in Jerusalem isn't going to be fun. Let's put it that way. Danger is waiting for you in Jerusalem. And he feels this in his bones as well. And so he's like, he thinks, and even possibly so, this is his last chance to see these people that he cares about so much. So as you listen to this, you know, reading this word or reading through this word, what's the impression you get of Paul's attitude towards them? Towards the Ephesians. I get the attitude of care and concern and saying, you know, even though I was with you for so long, there's still a few more things that I want to show you and tell you about and warn you about. Look, he says, I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable. I didn't hold anything back. He served the Lord with all humiliation, with tears, with trials. Everything that happened, it was hard on him. And he didn't shrink from declaring you anything that was profitable. And he taught them in public and from house to house. And he didn't have any preference between Jews or Greeks. He didn't care who he was talking to. He talked to everybody. And what did he teach them? He testified about repentance to God. Faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Are we called to do any less than any of this? Is part of the question this morning. We should have humility because the salvation and grace that we have isn't something that we earned. It's not something that we could go out and buy and work for. When we realize what the cost was to get us and provide us with that salvation, we should be very, very humble indeed. And the trials and tears, are there going to be struggles along the way when we're walking this path of kingdom work, following Jesus? Yes, there's going to be struggles. Matter of fact, if we're doing it right, you're almost guaranteed struggles. Not everyone is going to struggle in the same way. Paul was struggling with the plots of the Jews, people, you know, trying to foil his ideas and trying to set him up almost like they did Jesus. And like Jesus, Paul was one of them. And so when he went astray, they were like, well, then, you know, we got to go get him. For us, it might look like friends talking about us or getting in our way. Time getting in our way. Who knows? A whole myriad of things that could be the tears and trials that are getting in our way, or trying to, of worshiping God, of spending time with God, of following Jesus. But he didn't shrink from them. And the only thing he declared to them was things that was profitable. Repent and be saved. Who said that? Jesus said it. Peter said it. Paul says it. We read it over and over and over again in the New Testament. Repent and be saved. It was a popular theme because it's the truth. It's what we're called to tell people. That's part of what the going and preaching and teaching and baptizing and, you know, the Great Commission is all about. Repent and be saved. John the Baptist, as soon as we start reading in the New Testament, this was his message. And he was one of those squirrely guys. Warning people, making straight paths, making the way straight before the Lord. Warning people about his coming. Proclaiming his coming. Kind of interesting. But he went from house to house. He told it in public. He didn't care where he was. And that's us too. Don't leave your faith at the door. Don't leave your when you leave the house. Take it with you when you go. That's kind of what he's telling us here. He's like, you know, wherever you are, that's where your ministry is. And don't play favorites to the Jews or the Greeks. Like I said, there might be struggles. And if we're doing this obeying Jesus thing right, there's going to be. And in sharing the gospel and other spiritual and profitable things, sometimes we're supposed to have those struggles. And if that prevents us from actually sharing and doing what we're called to do, James has something for us on that too. James says, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it's a sin. If you know what you're supposed to be doing and you're holding back, you're preventing the Spirit from flowing through you. You know, like say, hey, I'm not ready to do that right now, or I'm not in the right place, or, you know, I don't want to offend these people, but I know what Jesus is telling me to do. I know what the Spirit's leading me to do, and I'm trying to restrict the Spirit. James 4:17 says, if you don't do it, that's a sin to you. So what if you don't know what to talk about when we're doing these things? Well, Jesus is a good place to start. He's always a great place to start. But to understand the importance of why we all need Jesus, we need to know about repentance. Because he said he preached repentance. And we see that preached over and over in the Old Testament. What is repentance? Let's hear some. Avery, what's repentance? See, that's why we're talking about it. If you shrug your shoulders. Okay. Asking for forgiveness, admitting what you've done wrong. Okay. What else? That's part of it. That's definitely part of it.
Being sorry.
Being sorry? Okay. Part of it. There we go. Repentance is recognizing all these things that you've said and then turning away from them. To repent is to turn away. It's like saying, they're saying, do a U-turn in your life. You know, 180 degrees away. You notice also what it said here at the end. He says repentance towards God. Usually you repent away from something, you know. But in the, you know, he words it this way, I think intentionally, saying, okay, we're turning away from those things, but what are we turning towards when we repent? We're not just running away or turning away from the things in our lives that we need to get rid of, but we're turning towards something or in someone, towards God. Yeah. That's what repentance is about, is turning away from these things in our lives. That we need to get rid of, the stuff that we all need to turn from and repent of is, you know, sin. Things that are keeping us from a true and abiding relationship with God, with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And why is repentance necessary? Repentance isn't just asking for forgiveness. It's the next step. You know, that's why that's part of the answer, is asking for that forgiveness, recognizing it, but the repentance is the actual action of it. So why is repentance necessary? Because repentance is like saying, I don't want to do this anymore. These things that I know that I shouldn't be doing. I want to be forgiven. I want to put my trust in Jesus. I want to give my life and trust to Jesus. And those are powerful statements, and God knows when we've made them. And even more important, God knows when we mean them. Because we can say stuff all the time. And God knows when we say it, but He knows when we mean it as well. Now we're talking heart change. Now we're talking true repentance. So there's a difference. Are you starting to see how we're supposed to be like that squirrel then? In people's lives and warning them about things. You know, that call to go and interact is a call to be like that squirrel and put up a warning. Paul knew the dangers of living the life of an apostle, an evangelist, and a disciple of Christ. And yet he didn't let it get in the way of rising to the task of putting himself in harm's way. Matter of fact, he threw himself in abundantly into these kind of tasks. In fact, he was one of those weird guys who found Jesus' words true even when he said something like this. You know, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, and theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Paul was one of the guys that believed this kind of stuff. And he's like, yeah, bring it on. I think of, what, Peter and John? Are those the two that got beat for preaching Jesus? And then when they turned them loose, they went and they said, hey, they were happy about it. I mean, they weren't excited about more of it, but they were happy about it. And they prayed, say, give us more boldness so that we don't back down from this in the future. Matter of fact, they were told, you know, stop preaching in this name. and they turned them loose. And what they do, they didn't even make it back home, and they were preaching Jesus out in the court again. Because they said there's a warning. They were those squirrely Christians that were warning others. And Paul gives us a little bit more warning here. Later in Acts 20, beginning at verse 29, he says, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease, night or day, to admonish everyone with tears. 3 years he was with them. I prepared you for 3 years, and now I'm coming back because I don't know if I'll get to see you again, and I wanted to remind you of everything I told you while I was there. Because of this, these fierce wolves that could come in and try and tear the church apart. And some of those wolves could be one of your own. Ouch. Fierce wolves may come, and when they come, it might be from one of our own. People we know, people we trust. People we may find it hard to believe that they're trying to lead us away from God's abiding grace. But it could also be people that don't even realize they're wrong. It might not be on purpose to them. And he still calls them fierce wolves. Dealing with an enemy who is inherently against us, you know, against our calling, against our ideals, against, you know, that blatantly, you know, are 180% or 180 degrees opposite us. Those are easy to deal with because you know exactly who your enemy is and who, you know, who's against you, and you can kind of prepare for that. But if it's somebody in the flock or somebody that you trust or know, it may not even be somebody you know. It could be these days especially, a pastor that you've heard about and hear about and listen to and read from. And, you know, we got so many ways to put out our thoughts and ideas into books or on the internet or whatever it may be. Sometimes those are the ones that are hardest to realize about. And it hurts. When sin is crouching at the door. Unfortunately, we've seen that sin crouching at our door in our church leaders here in our communities just here recently. And it hurts. You don't want to believe things like that can happen around here. So when it's one of your own, a friend or a family member, a pastor or other church leaders, well, we're all supposed to be on the same team, right? Those leadership wolves aren't the only issues, though. The other issue is this, and this comes from 2 Timothy, Paul talking to Timothy, young pastor, beginning chapter 4, beginning at verse 3. Paul warns Timothy, says, the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, and do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Paul's not talking about leaders anymore here. The warning is to a leader. The warning is to a pastor here. But it's to all of us as well. What Paul's saying is that even back then, he knew there would come a time when the gospel wouldn't be enough. And people might proclaim their faith in God, but not agree with all the word. You know? Now I get to pick and choose the parts that this applies today. This is the part that I like. But this one here, that one's not for me. This is the kind of stuff that Paul's talking about here. Even back in Paul's day, he says, I know there's a time coming when this is going to happen. And I don't think he was talking about our church today. global church, folks. He's talking about his time. He knew it was coming.
That itching ears comment means that they don't like everything they're hearing from God's Word.
And we'll either patch in their own beliefs or find someone that will tell them what they want to hear. You see Squirrely Paul throwing up a warning? He was warning this young pastor in that church, but he's also warning us today, all of us, don't be these folks.
They'll find someone to scratch that itch for him, is what he's saying. This warning in 2 Timothy was about standing firm in the faith as a teacher and pastor of God's children, but when we read it, it stands for a warning that goes something like this. Don't be those folks.
Do you think all those people we read about in the Bible perfectly understood everything that God was telling them? Put yourself in Abraham's shoes. And when he's called that hard one, you know, he's called to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice, right? But wait a minute, you promised me I was going to have this son that was going to be the head of a line of so many descendants, it would be like trying to count the stars. But he had faith. I don't think he understood it. What about Joshua? The idea of marching around a city 7 times and blowing your horn, what's that going to do to accomplish anything? They did it. Of course, I'm talking about Jericho, right? Gideon, there's another great one. This is first off, when God asked him to do stuff, he says, I'm not a soldier. Well, yeah, talking to me. But thanks for the army. Oh, you took a big chunk of my army, but I guess I still have enough. And he goes, wait a minute, I'm down to 300 guys. God kept testing him. He didn't like it, but he went with it. God's words aren't always pleasurable to our ears. Sometimes they hurt. But if they hurt, that's when we have to start doing a little bit of reflection. See, faith, and that's what keeps people trusting in God, trusting His Word, that's what keeps us trusting in Him as well. So if your ears get itching about stuff that's in the Bible or stuff that in God's Word that we don't understand or His commands or His expectations for us, that's fine. But don't go make up your own beliefs or find someone who will tell you what you want to hear to make you feel better. Take it to God. Jacob wrestled with God. We can wrestle with God. It's fine. You can take your questions to God. God's going to win in that wrestling match. And at the end of that match, then we'll have a decision. So, well, do I like it or not? It's still on us to decide. But we can take these things to God and wrestle them with Him and say, help me understand. This one hurts. This thing you say right here hurts. Why does that hurt me so much? I don't want to believe this, but I don't want to not believe it. So help me figure this out. But if our loss in that wrestling match brings us closer to God, that's still a win for us, folks. And by the way, that loss to God is repentance. Now you understand what repentance is about. Losing yourself to God is repentance. Submission. Submission and abiding, actually. And the next time someone accuses you of being squirrely, take it as a compliment. Say, yep, I got something to tell you. Or you carry a tail so you can twitch it at them or something, I don't know. But that's what we're called to do, is warn people about this and tell them what repentance is all about. And if we don't know what repentance is, if we're like somebody that wants to just shrug their shoulders when they ask them that, then we need to know it so that person can be prepared too. So Let's be squirrely Christians. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this this example today of Paul's life and the way he warned those he cared about things he was concerned about. Well, first and foremost, you and your kingdom and the kingdom work that he had started and put in place, and he didn't want that to go astray or go bad. And so he warned those he cared about things that he knew would happen, because he wanted them to be prepared. Help us be that same way. Have that same spirit in us to warn others when we see dangers to them, spiritual dangers. Come alongside them lovingly, caringly, to share with them. Embolden them, build them up, and just bring them closer to you. Let you do your work. Father, thank you for your word that just not only teaches us, but teaches us through those warnings. It's the warning of a caring and loving Father that wants his children to be with him and to follow him and just love him, respect him, honor him, and obey and repent towards him. So we thank you for that word of advice too. That repentance, not only away from things, but repentance towards you. As we go through this life, and as we go through these times of just trying to share you with those around us, help us keep that first and foremost in our heart. That it's not just taking them away from something, it's pointing them to something great and something massive and amazing. Their Creator, their God, and their Savior. Father, we thank you for all of this. We thank you for this time this morning. And we thank you for your Son who did so much in teaching and leading and showing, and then also in preparing that way to you through his death and through his resurrection, that we may have that opportunity to have that relationship with you, and that others may as well. Help us never forget that. And Father, we pray this all in his name, in the name of Jesus. Amen.